Love out loud. Eyes wide open. Opportunities abound. And so I asked you last Sunday night to just be looking around to find somebody you could pray with. You never know what God's going to do when you pray. And so that's kind of the assignment I gave to you. And I got a call last Thursday night, I guess it was. And there was some rejoicing going on because of some wonderful things that God was doing. But just because people did what I asked them to do. And so I'm going to ask Ken and Debbie to share a little bit about what God did this past week with them, just because they did that. Would you share that? You can just come on up here so people can hear you.
Testing.
It's on.
So just to go back a few months quickly, I had to confess a spirit of pride, and it traced back to a spirit of possibly being rejected. So I had a fear of sharing the Lord with other people, even though I knew he was the only answer for me and for them and how much he wanted to be with them, but still I was held. So the Lord's been loosening that stronghold in me, and I've been more aware, and it's been over a year now where there's been an increased emphasis on getting the gospel out. So I've just been breaking through with talking to the gas station attendant or clerks, and then long story short, there was a gentleman that we met on our travels this week up to Portland, and we were in a place with a lot of people with either medical problems themselves or their loved ones, and I didn't really have to do anything. I just was open. I just was more aware, and that's all the Spirit doing that, and I just started talking to him. And his name happened to be Luke, which is our son's name, so we had that in common. And then before I knew it, he was just pouring his heart out, and I just prayed with him. It was so natural. I didn't feel like I was invading. And then he ended up talking to Ken later, and then I'll let Ken talk about that.
Well, I'll finish on that one first with Luke. I got to talking with him, and I really didn't know. Deb told me that she had prayed with this young fella, and I really didn't know at the time who it was. But I was sitting there talking to him, and turned out it was the same fella that Debbie was talking to. But anyways, at the end, I just said, let me back up just a hair. We got to talking, and it turned out that he just lives down the street from us. I mean, it's just like, how is this happening? But he really has a spirit within him to want to know God. So that was just like, wow. Well, then also, there's another couple, an older couple, and Deb, I think you were at your brother's. And I sat down, I was there by myself, and I sat down to eat my meal that evening. There was this older couple, and we kind of all figured out we're Christians. He came over and asked if he could sit with us, or sit with me. And I said, absolutely, brother, you know. And so we're sitting talking, and I could draw this story out, but short story was, I ended up calling Brad and handed the phone over to this gentleman whose name is Jim. And some of you guys know Jim and Joe, right? And
Smith.
And yeah. And so anyways, I handed the phone over to Jim, and he started talking. Brad, they just went off. Right away, Brad knew who it was. I mean, you know, now, what's the chances of that happening? You know? So again, because of the Lord just softening my heart to want to open up and talk to ones about the Lord. And then there was, I had the opportunity. This really touched me a lot. I met this lady there, and her husband was over in hospice. Her husband was in hospice. And I just asked her, it just came out. Can I go over and pray with him? Do you think he would accept that? And she said, oh, sure, absolutely. And I was over there praying for him, put my hands over on his shoulder and started praying. And there was just this sweetness that just came within me of the Lord and how loving he is and how he prepares us for our last day. And this gentleman's going to die. If he hasn't already, I don't know. But it just so happened that they live in Cannon Beach. And so I told the lady, I said that, and I told her husband, that, if she ever needed anything help-wise, that I'd be more than happy to go up there. And I'm sure that if it's something bigger than I can handle, that I'm sure that there's somebody within our church that would come and help me, if not my wife or someone else. But boy, I tell you, you just never know when you open up your mouth where God's going to take you. And those aren't the only ones right now I'm telling you about. But it was, here I was up there to have an operation, and I didn't even think about it or worry about it. I was having so much enjoyment talking to ones about the Lord. So anyways, I just encourage you, just never know what's going to happen when you open your mouth and start talking about God and the Lord and what he's done. I just want to encourage, because here, you see what happened to us. One was, in a sense, our church went full circle, with Jim and his wife. They've known this church for a long time, Pastor Brad and everything else. And here, we had no idea. So anyways, I just really encourage, because there was a real, real sweetness and enjoyment and that came back to us. Amen.
There's a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 28. Many of you are familiar with it. Verses 19 and 20 says, "Go ye therefore to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've told you." Then there's another portion of that, that verse 29 says, "And lo, I am with you always." Now that lo means behold, or look, or watch, and see that I'm with you always. Okay? And so when we just go about doing what God asks us to do, just go about opening our mouths and just praying for folk, you look and see what God is doing. It's not you. It's not Ken and Debbie. It's God doing it through you. And there's no greater joy, perhaps, than allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us to infect other people's lives. Amen. There's no greater joy. And that's what, I told Ken when he was sharing this with me, I said, if you had gone to the VA and was all worried about your procedure and all that, you probably would not have seen the opportunities that God put in your path. And we're all, God, every week, every day, he gives us opportunities to share. Some of you had some other things go on this week, and you're going to be able to share tonight how God used you. And so I'm looking forward to the reports that you're going to bring. God is so good. Did you know that God loves you? We're going through a series called I Love You, Do You Love Me? I Love You, Do You Love Me? So I think you're familiar with this passage of Scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16. But I'm going to ask that you stand, and I'm going to ask that you read it as it is on the board, okay? "For God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that if I would believe in him, I would not perish, but have everlasting life." Hallelujah. God loves you. You may be seated. So we're in Malachi, and we've been in Malachi chapter 3 for about the last 3 weeks. I think this is the last time I will preach on verse 1 of chapter 3. Okay? I think. So turn in your Bibles or look on the board and let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Okay? God's Word is very precious and we need to hold it as dear. I'm not going to say that right now. Ready? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, the Lord of hosts. Did you know the Lord is coming?
Yes.
He is coming again. That's not what I'm preaching on today, but he is coming. Okay? He is coming. And we're looking forward to his return. So, we're going to be talking about delighting in the Lord today. It talks about here, the Lord whom you delight in. So we're going to be talking about delighting in the Lord. What do you delight in? What are some of your delights? I've written a couple of mine. Things that give me pleasure, things that give me joy. My grandchildren give me pleasure. Okay? My grandchildren give me joy. I remember when I was a child, so Easter Sunday was the Sunday we always opened up our swimming hole in Mississippi. What I mean by that is we would all go down to White's Creek. All of us would get sticks, kill all the water moccasins that we could find, okay, and then we would go swimming. It was a delight to go swimming. It wasn't a delight to kill the water moccasins. Well, it was a delight to kill the water moccasins. It wasn't a delight to see them. Okay? And so every Easter, we would look forward to Easter Sunday, no matter how cold it was. That was our day to go to White's Creek and go swimming. Start the year off going swimming. That was just kind of our, one of our traditions that we had. So there's a lot of things that we take delight in, but here's what the Word says, that we need to take delight in the Lord. So what does it mean to delight in the Lord? Number one, it means to delight in His salvation. Okay? So in Luke chapter 10, Jesus had gathered 70 disciples. We think of 12. But he gathered 70 disciples, and he sent them out in ministry. And as he sent them out in ministry, he said, I want you to go to the different towns. I want you to pray for people. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out demons. And so they went out, two by two, and went to these different towns. And Scripture says that they were going to the towns where he would later come. Okay? And so he sent the 70 out, and they went to these different towns. And as they went to these different towns, they began looking for opportunities. And they would pray for folk. And as they prayed for folk, they were healed. Isn't that amazing? What if you went down to Fred Meyer this last week and you saw somebody that was sick, maybe even in a wheelchair, and just said, could I pray for you? They said, yeah, and then when you prayed for them, they got up out of their wheelchair. Wouldn't that be awesome? What do you think that did to the disciples? Boy, they're like, woohoo, come on! Let's do some more! So they go look for another sick folk. Then they come across people who were demon-infested, and they would begin casting out demons, and man, demons were just flying. And they were like, whoa! Woohoo! So let's do some more of this. So they come back. They finish their missionary trip. And they come back to where Jesus is. And so this is where we're picking up. And then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents. Now he's not just saying that to the 70. Okay? He's saying that to us. Behold, I give you authority. So if you're a part of the you, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. So I'm giving you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You can kill those water moccasins. Okay? And you can kill those serpents. You can kill those spirits. You can cast them out. He said, I'm giving you authority over all the power of the enemy. How much power does the enemy have? A lot. Who has more power? According to this passage of Scripture, who has more power? Okay? In Jesus' name. Okay? So, I'm giving you all power to do this stuff. I'm giving you more power than the enemy. And nothing shall... Well, we could just spend all day on this passage of Scripture. This is good stuff. Okay? I'm going to give you power over the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Wow. So we need to rejoice. We need to delight in our salvation. If you have salvation in the Lord, you need to just praise Him every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. You know what? Every day you're going to have something go wrong, probably. Okay? Probably. And either we can dwell on what's going wrong, or we can rejoice in the things the Lord has given us and rejoice in His salvation. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! My name's written in heaven. Hallelujah! What greater blessing, what greater gift is there than that? So rejoice in His salvation. It's not your salvation. It's His salvation that He has given you. It's a gift from Him. And rejoice in the gift. Rejoice in that salvation. Just say right now, praise the Lord for my salvation. Say it like you mean it.
Praise the Lord for my salvation.
Hallelujah! Yes! So rejoice. Delight in His salvation. Another thing we need to delight in is His promises. Look at Psalm chapter 119, verses 174. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. How many of you rejoice in God's promises to you? You know, there are certain promises that God has made to you, and you may not see them right now. You may not physically be affected by them, but those promises are for you. And you need to embrace those as if they are already taking place. How many of you, that you've been praying for things and they haven't occurred yet? Okay? Is there a promise in God's Word that speaks to that prayer? Then you need to grab hold of that promise, and you need to embrace it. You need to make it your own, and you need to rejoice in that promise rather than mullygrub over the things that aren't happening. Is that a word? Okay. Well, it is now. Okay. So you need to rejoice in the promises of the Lord. Rejoice in the promises of the Lord. There are so many things. If you're going through financial difficulty, then there's all kind of promises in God's Word for that. Okay? If you're going through health issues, there are so many promises in God's Word regarding that. Okay? Rejoice in the promises of the Lord. Another one is delighting not only in His promises, delighting in His Word, but then there's delighting in His Word. Look at Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man, or woman, or boy, or girl, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he does meditate day and night. So let me ask you a question. Do you love the Bible? You love His Word. I'm going to ask you a little different question. Are you putting it into practice? Because here's the thing. If you love it, not only are you going to be reading it and studying it, but the principles and the things that He has set forth, you're going to be putting into your life, because you know that as you put those things in your life, that something good is going to come from that. Okay? I'll share now what I started to share earlier. I hesitate to do it because every time I think about it, it makes me mad. Do you ever have any memories that make you mad? Okay? I'm not as holy as maybe I ought to be. But I get... So, I invited an evangelist to come and preach at a church. He was recommended by others in the church, and so I invited him, said, well, I trust these guys. And so he took the Bible, and he was preaching, and he threw it down on the platform, and then he stood on it. And he said, this is not our God. And he was right, and this is not our God, but these are the words of the Lord. And I told him after that service was over, if he couldn't do better than that, he could go home. That made me so mad, and I still get mad every time I think about it. Because we need to, this is God's word to us. And if you don't respect it, and if you don't embrace it, if you don't like it, that's on you. But don't ever tell my congregation that this is not a valid book and that it's not from God, because every word in here, Scripture says, is given by God, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, for correction. I don't like the correction. But did you know what? Correction is good for us. Because if we are not corrected, then we're going to continue to go down the path that we've been on, and we're going to continue to hit a solid brick wall, and we wonder why things don't get any better. And if nobody corrects us, and if we don't take God's word and allow it to correct us, we're going to keep doing the same stupid things. Okay? And we're going to continue to have train wrecks, and we wonder why. I wonder why. I had a friend in seminary, and I don't understand this. Anyway, he was a youth minister, and I guess his thought was that God would change the oil in his truck. Because he never changed the oil in his truck, and he wondered why it quit. And it's like, if we don't take care of our truck, if we don't take care of our vehicle, if we don't take care of our home, it's going to fall apart. Okay? And if we don't take care of this, using this is kind of like the lubrication, this is kind of like everything we need in order to get our lives going in the way that it ought to go, and it's not going to tear up. Okay? And it's a daily thing. We have to do maintenance in our body, in our spirit, on a daily basis. If you don't do maintenance, you're going to have a problem. Okay? You're going to have a problem. And so, this is my daily bread. Say daily bread.
Daily.
Say it again. Daily bread. Say, this is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Okay? It's daily. If it's not daily, you're going to have some problems. And if you're not looking at it, not just to say, well, I put my 15 minutes in. If you're not looking at it to begin to help you with your daily life and begin to implement those concepts and precepts and principles that are in this Word, you're going to have some difficulty in your Christian life. You're going to have some difficulty in your life, period. Okay? So, the Word of God is precious. And we need to delight in it. Because we need to delight in the laws of the Lord because it does good in our life. Okay? Does good in our life. So another thing that we need to delight in, and I don't have time to develop this. The next thing we need to develop, to take delight in is delighting in the fear of the Lord. I want to read a passage of Scripture, and I will have to come back to this another time. Because I don't have time to develop it. But in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3, this is what it says of the Lord, okay? Our Lord Jesus. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And this is Jesus, okay? It's a prophecy concerning Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? I don't have a lot of time to develop this, but I just want to share with you, there's a difference between being afraid of the Lord and having the fear of the Lord. Okay? A difference between having a fear of the Lord and being afraid of the Lord. If you were to go back into Exodus chapters 19 through 32, there is the children of Israel were asked by the Lord to come up to the mount and he would speak to them. Okay? And they said, no! We're too afraid. Let God speak to Moses, and then Moses can tell us what to do. Now, they were afraid of the Lord, but they didn't have the fear of the Lord. The reason I say they did not have the fear of the Lord is because when Moses went back up on the mountain to get the commandments from God, they started worshiping, they made a false god, a Baal, and started worshiping that god and saying that god brought them out of Egypt. Okay? They were afraid of the Lord, but they had not have the fear of the Lord. Now, Moses had the fear of the Lord, and because of the fear of the Lord, he was able to come close to the Lord. And the fear of the Lord kept him and keeps us from doing the things that we know we ought not do. Not because we're afraid of the Lord. When I was growing up, I was afraid of my dad. Okay? He would lay down the law. And if we didn't follow the law, then there was consequences. And it wasn't pretty. He had 6 boys. And he felt like there were 2 things that would keep us out of trouble. One is working. And the other one was his belt. Okay? And it did. That kept us out of trouble. But see, but here's the deal. I was afraid of my dad. And so, it didn't keep me from doing things I shouldn't do. I just tried to do it so he didn't catch me. Right? Is that what you do? Yeah, no, I'm not going to. But here's the deal. But you always get caught, don't you? You always get caught. So, how are you into all that, Josiah? You okay with... You don't do a lot. Doesn't get caught a lot. So all I'm saying is there's a difference in having the fear of the Lord and being afraid of the Lord. Okay? And so you need to have a healthy fear of the Lord, but you don't need to be afraid of Him. Does that make sense? Okay. So Jesus said He delights in the fear of the Lord. He delights in the fear of the Lord. Because here's the thing. The fear of the Lord causes you to draw close to Him and have communion with Him and have an intimate relationship with Him. When you're afraid of the Lord, it keeps you from Him. Okay? Keeps you from Him. And so on your communication card, I asked you, do you have a fear of the Lord or are you afraid of the Lord? Do you delight in the fear of the Lord? Real quick, I want to share with you some rewards of delighting in the Lord. Rewards. Do you like rewards? You know, we were talking last, I had a group meeting with the boys last Friday night. And I began talking about rewards, and one of the kids said, I don't want the reward, I just want to do what God says. Isn't that neat? That's a good heart. That's a good attitude. And I hope that's all our attitude. And I hope we don't do it for the reward. But let me just share with you some of the rewards. The rewards of delighting in the Lord. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Woo! So what's your heart's desire? What's your heart's desire? Is your heart's desire peace? Is your heart's desire joy? What about close relationships? Happiness? Freedom from depression? Freedom from worry? Freedom from anxiety? Is that what your heart's desire is? What are your heart's desires? God says, if you delight yourself in Me, I will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? So delight yourself in His Word. Delight yourself in His promises. Delight yourself in His salvation. Delight yourself in Him. Psalms, we looked at this. Your heart's desires are fulfilled. That's one of the rewards. Another reward is success. So, Larry, would you help me sing Psalm 1? So every Wednesday morning, Larry's my prayer partner, and I've asked you to get a prayer partner and meet with them. So Larry and I meet together, and this is a song that we sing before we start praying every Wednesday morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he does meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah. Thank you, Larry. So every week we sing that. So let me ask you, how many of you want to be successful? How many of you don't want to be successful? Scripture says, if you delight yourself in the law of the Lord, you will be successful. Whatever you do will prosper. Whatever you do will prosper. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and whatever you do will prosper. Kids, do you want to make better grades at school? Well, bummer. So what do you want to be successful at? Meditate in God's Word, and you will prosper. Okay? Meditate in that, and you will prosper. That passage of Scripture goes on to say, but the ungodly are not so. And then I forgot the rest. But it's good. Okay? Whatever you do, God wants you to succeed in that, but the only way you're going to do that in the right way is to begin to incorporate God's Word in your life. Meditate on it day and night. Day and night. So, one of the rewards is your heart's desires will be fulfilled. The second one is success. The third one is every need will be met. Every need will be met. In Matthew chapter 6, we sang a song a little while ago called His Eye is on the Sparrow. Have you heard that song before? It's an ancient song. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. That song comes out of Matthew chapter 6. Okay? That passage of Scripture says, if God sees the birds of the field and knows that they have food, He provides for the birds of the field, how much more will He provide for you? If He sees the flowers of the field, that they are clothed in so much raiment and so much color, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like this, how much more will God clothe you? How much more will He give to you? But then there's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, He says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. How many of you are concerned about your daily needs being met? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure there are some of you here that are concerned about your daily needs being met. When I was when Cynthia and I first got married, I was concerned about our daily needs being met. Okay? And so I decided that I would take God at His word and put Him first, seek Him first, believing that if I sought Him first in the kingdom of God, that all of those other things will be taken care of. Guess what? I didn't starve to death. I've got a home. I have a car. All of my needs have been provided. All of my needs have been provided. God is faithful. God is faithful. And if we seek Him first, if we delight in Him, there are so many things that He has for us. So many things He has for us. So as we close today, I have a few questions I need to ask you. In the beginning, I shared with you, delight in the Lord of your salvation. And it's very possible that you may be here today and you don't have the knowledge that you are going to go to heaven when you die. You don't know that your name is written in heaven. Scripture says that you come to know, you get to that point when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You turn from sin, you turn from self, and you turn to the Lord. And when you do that and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to be the Lord of your life, that your name is written in heaven. Okay? Or maybe it's not blotted out. So if you're here today without Christ, I want you to know that God loves you. Jesus died for you to take away your sin so that you can have that relationship with God the Father. This morning, and I've been preaching to me as well as you. Maybe you haven't been delighting in the Lord like you should have, like you ought to. Maybe there's some things that you have been putting to the side, and I'm going to encourage you this morning to make a decision that we're going to do this. I'm going to do this. You know, this year, I've never done this with Cynthia before, but this year I decided that we were going to read the Bible through together this year. And we're still on track. And it's a delight. for us to read that together. What is God asking you to do? What do you need to do to take the next step to make yourself delight in the Lord the way He wants you to? He delights in you. Father, I come before You, and Lord, I thank You for today.